Last week, the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about Perech Chaf Dalet, last Perech in Shmuel Bet. We had done Perech Chaf Aleph, which was about the famine and the Givonim and the implications of that. And I'm skipping over Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel, because those are more the Tehillim, like we'll come back to that. And but when come to this Perech is the is more of another narrative, the story. And it starts with Vayosef af Hashem l'charuk b'Yisrael, and Hashem became even more angry with Israel. We talked about, Rashi says, I have no idea what this anger is all about, doesn't say. And but the implication that most of the Rashi say is that this was after the Givonim. There's a famine for 3 years, and the people just don't get what's going on. And David may try to act with justice, try to make it up to the Givonim and the injustice that was done to them, but the rest of the people don't understand it. And we talked about the Emmanuel Levinas' approach to this concept of justice and forgiveness. But the punishment that God is going to do to Israel is going to be through David. Yesterday, David Bahem, and Hashem entices David against them, with them, Lemor Alech Mnet Yisrael Ben Yudah, entices David to conduct a census, to count the people. And you know, we don't do that because so it says, count them. If you don't do it right, you don't give a kofar nefesh, then I could keep to tease that, right? That you'll end up with a plague. Right? Negev with Israel. And that's what happens. He does, he conducts the census, and Hashem's angry with them. And I talked about the end result. We don't know what the real anger is. The end result is Hashem tells them where to build the Beit Hamikdash. And that's where the Sefer ends. And the Medrash connects it that the reason why Hashem was mad at Bnei Israel was, well, it's obvious at the end he tells them to build the Beit Hamikdash, is because they didn't build the Beit Hamikdash. That it wasn't so much an issue of building a building, but of establishing the kind of society where a Beit Hamikdash is possible. It's one of the requirements is Yishavtim b'Betach, that the people have to live in peace and harmony. There has to be a sense of stability. That's what a mamlacha of mishpat tzedakah means, and they did not do that. After all was said and done, that didn't happen. So Hashem says, "You're going to count." He basically forces David to count them. He inspires him. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's wrong, but he does it anyway. And we talked about the why does the census lead to a negev, and we quoted Rabbi Eli Baruch Shulman, Rabbi Shulman's brother, that the nature of plagues of diseases, and this was from a shiur that he gave over Zoom in March of 2020. Anyone remember March of 2020?
Was that the whole election thing?
No, that was right when COVID was starting in the US.
Oh, right.
That's when things were
I'm
shut
considering
down.
that, but I had
Right.
to
So this was
cancel
talking about he was talking about diseases and pandemics and all that, and he actually said this was a shiur given to the Kollel here. Over Zoom, he said he never heard of Zoom, but he's better get used to it because the yeshiva's why he's at YU. The yeshiva's shutting down this week, and all the shiurim are going to be over Zoom from now on. So he hopes this works because this was a dry run. But he
my
said,
camera. Wow.
yeah, so that worked out. So they said that the nature of any large group of people is that diseases spread. That's what causes pandemics, you know, that individual isolated people don't get sick, don't catch things from other people. It's only the crowd that happens that way. And so that's what causes the negev, the plague as a result of the census is not so much the counting itself, but the conditions that warrant counting. If you have that many, if you have that larger population, then plagues happen. The way to avoid it is with this Machaseh HaShekel, which creates a tzibur. That if we all have our role, all have a place, we all have importance, that's what the Machaseh HaShekel so symbolizes, that Hashem will protect us from the negative that would otherwise happen. David fails that test. He does the census. And again, this is, we're saying this is because God made him do that. This wasn't David making a sin, doing a sin. This is,
Does he do it the way, does he do it with Machzit HaShekel, or does he
he
actually
doesn't
count?
say it. No, he just says Yoav and goes, that's count. And the argument is that what I'm claiming is that it is illustrating the problem with Bnei Israel is that they're not forming a tzibur. They're not a community. They're just a rabble of people, and therefore conducting the census means they're all just a number. They're not individual names, and that just illustrates what the problem is with Bnei Israel, that Hashem is so angry at them for. That was all summary from last week. Now we're going to move on. David has a bad feeling. He cuts back the census and immediately says, I'm wrong. Right? Vayomer David al Hashem, chatati me'od asher asiti, I made a mistake. He's got a bad feeling about this, to quote Star Wars. And what happens next, vayakam David b'boker, and the next morning after the census, David gets up. Devar Hashem hayal gad hanavi, chozeh David le'mor. And the word of God had come to God. This is going to confuse me, because there's God, the Navi, and God, Hashem. So the word of Hashem comes to Gad, the Navi, who is the seer of David. He is the one who has come to David in the past. He's the one who came to David way back in Shmuel Aleph to tell him, time for you to leave the mountains in Yehuda, time for you to go become king of overall Israel. Now he's coming back to him. And these are the words that he's going to say. Halochu v'dibarta David, go and talk to David. Komar Hashem, thus saith the Lord. Shalosh anochi notel alecha. I'm giving you a choice of three things. Bachar lecha, achat mehem. You need to choose one. Veseh alach, and I will do that to you. Vayavo God al David, vayaged lo, and God comes to David and tells him, he says, vayomer lo. It says, here are your three choices. Atavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av v'artzacha. You want there to be 7 years of famine in the land. Where do you want to be chased by your enemies? There'll be war for 3 months. And he'll chase you. Or you want 3 days of pestilence, of a plague, of disease in the land. Those are your choices, right? We're punishing Bnei Israel. You have to choose one of those. Atada, now you should know, think about it, Re'e, and see, Ma'ashiv Sholchil Davar, what should I return to the one who sent me? What should I tell Hashem? You, David, are responsible for all of this. You choose the punishment. Famine, war, or disease. Right, and those choices. What?
Sounds bad, no matter what he does.
Yeah, right. This is not a good choice, okay? He's gonna looking at this and, you know, and you're responsible for making the choice of what's going to happen. Those choices of Rav, Devar, and Cherev are the way that Hashem punishes nations in general. You see that over and over again when Shlomo gives his tefillah inaugurating the Beit HaMikdash. Talks about what are we going to pray for? Rav kia ba'aretz, if there's a famine land, Devar kia, if there's plague, shitafon, yirakon, these diseases, arbe chasil, or locust, ki, or ki yetzar lo oivav, or the enemy comes upon it, or it's sharav kolagea machalab, that the land in its gates, anything wrong, all problems, all diseases, those three things. Then kol tefila, kol tachana, any prayer, any supplication, asher tiel chol adam, chol amcha Yisrael, that any of your people should give, asher on ish negal vavo, everyone should know what's in their own hearts, what's bothering them. They should pray toward this house. That's where he's looking. This Beit HaMikdash should be prayed where we'll pray in these cases. And you will hear from the heaven your dwelling. So lachta sita, and you will forgive them and you will do what you will do. And you will give the person according to what they want in their heart. You alone know the hearts of men. Those three things. Similar to tefillah. This is Yehoshaphat.
So wait a minute. So is this going on also when Shlomo becomes king?
This is not going on. Shlomo is mentioning these things because these three things are the bad things that one would pray about.
Ah, okay.
These are the way Hashem punishes nations.
Oh, okay.
As a whole, okay? And that's the point, that this is a collective punishment. Hashem's mad at the people as a whole, that's going to be Ra'av, Devar, and Cherev, those three things. And similarly, when Yehoshaphat is faced with the army of
Yehuda,
I think it was Cush. Yehoshaphat b'kal Yehudav Yerushalayim b'Beit Hashem. Yehoshaphat is faced with this army, doesn't know what to do, and he says, And you know, he just stands there in the Beit HaMikdash, the Sfei HaTzara HaDasha, in the new gate, in the new courtyard. And he says, Hashem, we are praying to you, and Tavo Aleinu Ra'ah, whatever evil comes to us, Cherev, Shafot, the sword of judgment, the Dever, plague, Ra'av, and famine, we'll stand here, Ufanecha, and before you, Kishimcha Beit HaBayit, this is where your name is. Nezakeh, we'll cry to you, Mitzareinu, Tishma, Tashia, you will hear and you will save us. So now we're in trouble. There's this huge army. We don't have any power against this army. We have no idea what to do. We are looking to you. We don't know what to do now.
But who's speaking when they say that?
I'm sorry.
Who's speaking when they say we don't know what to do?
Yehoshaphat. He's the king of
Oh,
Yehuda. He's praying to Hashem. He's faced with the army. Now he doesn't
okay.
know what to do.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Hi, Lyra.
Hi.
Really?
1 second. Oh, okay. I'm gonna put myself on mute now.
Where'd you get that from?
Okay. And similarly, I like, because these three things keep coming up. Deber Ra'av Chera. This is Yecheskel. When he's talking, but now it's not the king praying to Hashem to save them. This is Yechezkel threatening Bnei Israel. If you don't act right, he's going to destroy the Hashem's going to destroy everything. Vishlachticha. And I give you three things. These three things. But Dever Yumutu, they'll die of the plague. Ra'av Yuchlu, and they'll be wiped out from famine. Tochech within you. Vashlishit Bacherev, and then the third will be with the sword. Yiplus Votecha. Israel, a third of them will die. And then the reigning third of Bnei Israel who are left, I will scatter to the winds. And I will send the sword after them. Similarly, Yirmiyahu, predicting what's going to happen to if Bnei Israel don't do tshuva, shalachtivam, and I will send among them at the cherev, darav, et deber. Same three things. Ad tumam until they're wiped out, me'al damash, and atati lahem, to him till they wipe up from that land. So these three things are the collective punishment. And the point is that it's not hashgacha pratit. Hashem isn't punishing individual doing wrong. This is everyone suffers. And the way Rashi puts it, like in Shema, Magid she'me'achar she'nina reshut la'mashchit la'chavel, la'chavol, that once the mashchit, the destroyer, the malach, the angel that's working on Hashem's behalf, is given permission to destroy, ein mavchin ben tzadik l'rasha. There's no distinction between tzadikim and rasha'im. They're all part of the same society. We're all in this together. Goes back to the beginning of the Perek when it says Hashem by Yosef Hashem af Hashem l'charop Yisrael, that Hashem is angry with Israel and Hashem is punishing all of Israel. They haven't gotten to the point where they're working together. They're at Sibor, that's Yeshabtim Betach, they're living securely. Hashem's going to punish them. So now David has the trolley problem. You know what the trolley problem is? We've mentioned that before. Famous ethics problem where you know, there's a trolley going down the tracks. There's a person tied to the tracks. You can save him by pulling the lever. But on the other track that you're pulling, there are five people tied down. You pull the lever. What if it's going to the five and you can save him by sacrificing the one? Who do you sacrifice? Somebody's going to die. It's a huge ethics problem, but there isn't an answer there. So Debbie's basically being forced to answer that. He gets to choose. Holy sacrifice. So the Medrash looks at this and describes David thinking this way. This is Medrash Shmuel. Nachshav David b'fnei atzma. David thinks to himself. Vamar, and says, "Im borer ani cherev. If I choose war, and my choices are famine, disease, or war. If I choose war, Achshav you call Yisrael amrim. Then Bnei Yisrael look at me and say, Ma echpat lo levin Yishai." Why Ben Yishai David doesn't care about this. Ubatuach al Gibarav, he's got his own army, he'll be secure in his castle. We're the ones who are gonna die. Imbarer ani ra'av, if I select a famine. Achshav yukol Yisrael omrim, machpat lo leben Yishai. Then the rest of Ben Yisrael are gonna look at me and say, he doesn't care. Ubatuach al Yisrael, David's got storehouses, David's got money, he'll survive the famine. So therefore, Nivro Davar Shakol Shabinbo. Therefore, I will pick something that we're all vulnerable to, and that's the devil, that's the disease. I have no protection against this. I'm part of Bnei Israel here. Another way of looking at that, Yimbora Nicherev. Ein Cherev, that should not be printed there. Below Ra'av. If I opt for war, Hashem punishes with war, then that will inevitably lead to famine. If there's war in the country, that where people are going to be starving anyway. In Borer and Ra'av, in Ra'av below Cherev. And if I choose famine, that will inevitably lead to war. People will be fighting, people will die that way. So therefore, I'm not going to choose either one of those. I'm going to choose the Dever. I'm going to choose the plague. Yeshamim God Ramon. So and there's a and so, and you could read what God the Navi God says to him as a hint when he says here we go, he asks them Atada Reima Ashiv Shochi Badavar. Now you go tell me what should I respond to the one who sent me? What should I respond to Hashem and Shochi Davar? And the Midrash says there's a pun there. Atar da, re'e ma'ashiv shulchi davar. That davar there is really a pun for dever. That's what you should choose. If you look at what he does, he doesn't actually choose dever. Dever is what happens afterwards. But his response, God comes and tells him, you need to pick one of these three things: cherev, ra'av, and dever. And what does David do? You know this pasuk. Remember David al God. So David tells about the God, Salim Od, this is really distressing to me. Nifla na biyad Hashem, let me fall into the hands of Hashem, ki rabim rachamav, because his mercy is great, God Adam el Apola. Let me not fall into the hands of man. And that's not an answer. Right? You can argue that both Ra'av and Dever are both Yad Hashem. You know, he's experienced Ra'av as Yad Hashem.
But Danny, that's sort of like Moshe when God, after the sin of the golden calf, and God says he's going to destroy all the Jews, and Moshe says, you know, destroy me then, because, you know, I can't live without them. And didn't you say, you're Kel Rachum Hanun?
Right.
So it's also reminding God, didn't you say, you're Kel Rachum Hanun?
He is, but he's not praying here. Right, he's not asking God, please forgive them. Don't destroy them. He's refusing to choose. Right, he's just saying, no, I am not going to do that. I'm just saying, if not, I'll be
Hashem. He says he's putting his faith in God.
That's what he's doing. But I think the way that's to read that is that
it's a message without saying it.
He is. I thought it was interesting because Hashem just told him, you need to decide, and David says no. Right, that's what he's saying. Is Niplana Bi Hashem. Hashem, I'm in your hands. Okay, and of course, we can quote war games.
The question is: this before the whole thing where he's dead set again? He's collecting all that money from the wars.
This is afterwards.
People money for food.
This is after all that.
That's after. What I'm saying.
All of this was the response. Everything leading up to the famine in Perichav Aleph was that of him not sharing the money. So we're assuming that he's gotten beyond that. He's gotten through Perichav Aleph. Bnei Israel have not gotten beyond that.
Okay.
And this is a lesson for Bnei Israel. And now Debbie is looking at this and is actually not taking responsibility. He is the only winning move not to play. So Debbie is not playing. Right? That's what Niplana Biyad Hashem is, denial of responsibility. He can't choose. So Hashem then imposes what is the consequence of the famine. Okay, so Hashem said, fine. You did the census, you counted them. Now here's the consequence of counting them. When it says, we quoted this before, when you want to count them, a new ish kofar nafsho, they need to give a something to redeem their lives for. If kodotam were counted, lo yehem negev. If kodotam, there shouldn't be a famine. And here, that didn't happen. There was no kofar nafsho, and there was negev happens. So in our parak, v'yitein Hashem dever b'Yisrael. So Hashem sent this plague among Israel, Me'aboker, about 8 Moed, from the morning until the set time. And we'll have to look at that later. Vayomer min ha'am yidam b'Beersheva, and so died from the people, from the north, from Dan to Beersheva in the south, 70,000. Since we just saw the population of Bnei Yisrael in the census was 1.7 million, so that's about 5% of the population have died in this endeavor. It's a lot more than COVID did.
Manny, I'm thinking it's 70,000. That's the same number as Jews that were in Egypt. They took out of Egypt now.
You think?
Wasn't there?
No. In Israel, it was Shishim Ribo. It was 60 times 10,000, so 600,000.
Oh, there were 600,000?
600,000 came out, right? This is 70,000. Not as much.
Familiar, though, no?
Shivim Elef?
Yeah.
How does that come up? I don't know. I'll have to look at it. We're going to deal with that pasuk next time. So I got time to figure that out. If you remember anything, let me know.
Some echo. I don't know what's, you know.
But before I do that, I wanted to talk about that pasuk of Vayomer David el Gad, Sarli Mod. Because that's very familiar, right? That is an introductory pasuk to what we say in Tehillim, in Tachnun. Right? And what is Tachnun? Tachnun is the tefillah we say after Shemoneh Esrei. Gemara says that once you've done your tefillah with a capital Taf, that is Shemoneh Esrei. Right? We start with Shema, we do tefillah, we do Amida, and then the Gemara says you can say other tachinah, you can say other prayers afterwards. And then it has a list in Gemara Brachos of lots of different Amorim had their own ones to say. We've kind of decided on this one thing. And this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan puts it. Lachar says, Siyem Shlech Tzibur Chazar HaTzvilah. Once the Chazan finishes the Chazar HaShatz, Noflim Al Pneihem Umid Charanim. We fall on our faces. We lean down and say Tachanun. We pray for mercy. Miyan Nefilat HaPayim Hi. And the idea of this falling down, we lean on the table. Who Kedei Sheyaseid Our Tefilah B'Shosha Sarim. To say that we're praying in three different ways. First, we say the brachot, they're sitting down. I know Ad Shemoneh Esrei, that's Shema is the tefillah de Mushav. Vakach tefillah de Mu'mad, and afterwards we're standing up in Amida. Vakach tefillah de Payim, and afterwards we fall down. It really should be full prostration, but we don't do that, so we just kind of lean. Moshe said, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Moshe says when he's praying, in the Devarim describes it first. It's by Eshev Bahar. I was sitting there, and then Vanochi Amadati Bahar. I stood there, and then Vetnapal Lifnei Hashem, and I fell down. That's where the Torah puts those three ways of davening. V'chein Amrim Acharkach. Therefore, after we do this Biyada Hashem Ala Polo, this falling down, we end the last paragraph with Anachnu Leideda Manaseh. We don't know what to do. Lomar It Palanu B'chol Ofen Hayacholat. We pray to you in every way we can. Standing, sitting, bowing, lying down. We have nothing else to do. And we just look at you, God. We need your help here because we don't even know what to say at this point. That's what Tachnun is. And we start out with Tehillim. We say that the Tehillim Perek Vav, Rachum v'Chanun Chatati l'fanecha, Ad Yavo Sharaga. We'll look at that parak there. Yesh omer muktam pasuk bayomer David al Gad telimod. And there are those who would say this pasuk from our parak. That David's in the same position. He tells God, I am in great trouble. Let me fall into the hands of Hashem, not into the hands of man. But anu ein nogim lomro, and we, the Aruch HaShulchan, and Navardak says, ein nogim lomro. We don't say that. His minhag was not to say that pasuk. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik was very against that pasuk. Now, the fact Art Scroll says it, so obviously it's the right thing, but Rav Soloveitchik says don't. Tachnun v'tachnun, this is from Maaseh Ra, kind of Rav Shachter recording everything of Rav Soloveitchik's minhagim. Lo yomar pasuk v'yomar David. Don't say the pasuk v'yomar David. Shenebra gabar purayin yud. Is that said about when bad things are happening? You start with a rachum b'chanun, because what we're asking is not David's situation of being punished and saying and trying to ask God what to do about it, but we're hoping not to be punished at all. And that's but I think that even though Rav Soloveitchik said not to, I think it makes sense. Our pasuk of Vayomer David el God fits in with what we mean by tachana. And the way, okay, it's quote here from the Encyclopedia Dad from the Machon Herzog, that the tachanun is a tefina she'omri machrei tefilat tamida. It's a prayer of prochein, asking for mercy. After we finish my esrei, b'shachmi b'mincha, b'motachol. A tefila nekrei tachanun b'shel tefilata. And it's called tachanun because the way we start it, when we say, rachum v'chanun chatag v'mincha, Hashem ma'alei rachamim, rachei ma'alei v'kapel tachanun nai. Except my this is the introduction to the pasuk that comes until Bab Hashem Alba Abba. We'll look at that. Please, in your anger, do not rebuke. I think it's not so much about asking for the chen rachamim, but about saying that, okay, we're helpless. We don't even know how to ask you anymore. We've tried. We're still stuck here, right? As the Aruch HaShulchan says, we spent the last hour praying. We don't feel we've accomplished it. Are you listening to us? I don't know. And that's that idea of Anachnu L'Neda comes from that quote, Pasuk of Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat is the one who started saying, I know that Shlomo said we're supposed to pray to you, but I just don't know how. Anachnu L'Neda, Ma Naseh, Ki Alechanin. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are just to you. Let's look at that Perek Tehillim. Tehillim Perek Vav. Starts out with Lam Naseh B'Nigot Aleshminit. For the conductor on Niki Not, some kind of instrument, Ala Shminit, on another instrument called Shminit, Mizmor David, the song of David. Hashem, Al Ba'abcha Tochicheni, Hashem, in your anger, do not rebuke me, Al Ba'cha Machat Yasreni, and in your Chayma, your anger, your ire, do not chastise me. So what's a Shminit? It's Lamanat Sech, Ala Shminit. Probably just a name of an instrument, as Rashi says, the kinor shel shmona nimim. It was a harp with eight strings. That's why it's a shminit. The shminit shema. And that's why they called it a shminit. And chematzina we see in Divrei Yamim, Ploni Vanav ala shminit lanetzach, that some of the Levim were played on this shminit. But the Gemara interprets.
That was like a stringed instrument, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. Shmonah minimim, an eight stringed instrument. And so the Gemara, though, puts it more midrashically. It says, B'sha'ash nichnas David lebet ha-merchatz. An interesting image. David goes, is taking a bath. Ra'atz mo'amoed arum, and he's got no clothes on, he's looking at himself, Amir oily she'amod arum below mitzvah. And he immediately thinks to himself, oh, I had no mitzvah, right? This David is after Bathsheba, everything's falling apart. Kivan she'nizka b'mila she'basar, but he knows, okay, he's in the bath, and he says, okay, I have a brit meal at least, he just shaved until he feels better. I got one mitzvah, that's still with me. L'cha she'yatza amar ala she'ra sh'nemar l'metzeach l'sh'minit mizmola David. That's what the sh'minit is, the eighth day of mila. Al mila she'nit no b'sh'minit, that's the hint. And Radak immediately looks at that and says, that's weak. This is the Radak on our pasuk, by Drush al Hamila, and that Shinitna Bishminit, when this is Drush from the Gemara that says that al Shminit is referring to Brit Mila, Zerachok. That's pretty far fetched. But Mila actually symbolizes something important about what the number eight means here. Because there's one other perek that's Ala Shminit.
Didn't they finish the Mishkan Shminit?
Right, so there was a 7 days of celebration, of inauguration, and then Yom HaShmini is when they actually opened it up. Yom HaShmini is eight is a symbolic number. Mila is part of that. And when we talked about that, this was like 8 years ago, we talked about Tilim Yud Bet. That was after David escaped from Nov and he feels guilty because Nov has been wiped out. That was in another Al Shminit. It said that number seven in Tanakh symbolizes everything in the world, the natural world, 7 days of creation. Eight symbolizes the step beyond that. Eight symbolizes supernatural, not in the sense that something's not beyond the nature, but symbolizes that human beings have an effect on the world. That's our role. Hashem creates the world in 7 days. After that, it's up to us. That's one explanation why we have Brit Milah on the eighth day, right? Hashem created the boy, and now we make him perfect. So Tila al Shminit is one that reflects man acting the agent of a Kadosh Baruch. We are acting the world, even to the point of deciding his own punishment. And that's what David is looking at in our story. He's got to decide what to do. So our minhag associates this parak, David, Charlie Ma'od, with this parak of Tehillim that we're calling Tachanun. It's not because David's suffering, but it's over. He's describing how he's watching his own people suffer. And he says, "Pasuk Hashem alba apcha tochicheni, don't in your anger, don't rebuke me in your anger, don't chastise me in your ire." And that goes back to the beginning of the parak when it says, "Yosef af Hashem," that Hashem is angry with Bnei Israel. He's saying, "I know you're," that is saying, "I know you're angry. Don't rebuke us now. We know we know that we deserve that rebuke and that Musar, but it may not be in the af." That's the way Malbim looks at our parak. Think about the af and the chema. Yesh hevdel ben af ben chema. There's a difference between this anger we're calling af and the anger we're calling chema. The af wa kasa nigla. The af is talking about obvious anger. The chema hu tavarat esh hakas minister. Benitat sinah ve'eva. It's and chema refers to the resentment that's kept bottled up inside. Rech Hashem, don't have any either of those. So David is asking that this rebuke, that we deserve rebuke, but don't be angry. Right? Let your anger pass and then rebuke us. And the rebuke that you're giving us, and it'll be obvious, should come out of a sense of love. That's a quote from Mishlei there. That the rebuke should be out of love, not out of anger. Don't chastise us, don't give us muster, don't give us yisurim in anger. It shouldn't be like you really hate us and that's why you're doing this, like an enemy. We were chosen to rebuke our children as parents. It should be out of love. It says, no, the one who spared the rod spoiled the child, right? Hates the one who holds back the rod, rebuke, hates his child. But the one who loves their child will bring Musar on them early. That's what David's hoping for here. And the Midrash on this says, Mashal HaMelech. He's a Mashal, he's a king. Well, Michelle, I'm starting with King. Shakasa, but no, was angry with his son. Haytalafanav evigidolah. He has a rock. Nishba Melech Shuzar Kobo. And he swears he's going to throw the rock. You know, if you do this one more time, I'm going to hit you with this rock. Amar Melech. So the king realizes, wait, Imani Zar Kobo Od Ein Lo Chayim. I can't actually do it. I'm going to kill him. I can't do that. Ma'asa Melech, Hadkava Asad Shurur Katano. So he smashes the rock into tiny pebbles. And threw him at his son one at a time. So then he's symbolizing his anger. But he's not causing real damage. He's still keeping his oath of throwing the rock at his son. That's what David's asking for. And that's not what happens. Hashem, the af remains. Hashem in his anger kills 70,000 Jews. David's miserable. And the prayer continues. Anini Hashem, ki umlal ani. Have mercy on me because I am weak, I am worn out. Rafaeli Hashem, Kinevhalu Atzamai, heal me because my bones are in terror. I'm just afraid. Right? This is psychological pain, not physical. Nafshi Nevhalu Ma'od, my soul is in abject terror. Va'ata Hashem Matayin, for you, God, how long is this going to go on? Tshuva Hashem Chaltza Nafshi, return Hashem, save my soul. Hashini L'machastecha, save me for your sake. If I die, no one will mention you. Show me the lock in the grave. Who can acknowledge you? And then he continues on with the story of Ayagati Banchati. I am weary with all my sighing, my groaning. My bread is soaked every night. My pillow is soaked with tears. My eyes are weak from anger. I've grown old because of all my troubles. And that's what happens here. That's what happens in our parak here. David finds out after the census happens, the resume made a mistake. And David says, Chatati ma'od, I sinned. I said, Siti, all this thing that I did, I took this as I shouldn't have. Please forgive the sin of your servant, kiniskalti mode, because I was really stupid. David says that. That's the day he finishes the sentence. And then it says, Bayakam David Baboker. And there's a paragraph break in the middle of Pasuk. And then Var Hashem Hayal got a Navi, and word of God, the word of Hashem had been with God, the prophet, and then God got the message sent to David. That paragraph break of after Bayakam David Babokar, that he gets up in the morning, but he hasn't been sleeping all night. He has been miserable all night. That's where Doc puts it. He didn't rest all night. Come Babokar, and he wakes up. And then the morning God comes to him. So he's up. I can't sleep. I'm miserable from my fury. And my pillow is soaked with tears. As the Barbara now says, David didn't rest all night, worried about this whole thing. And what happens next in the parrot? We all know this because we've said to Hillel that I describe him, he's miserable, he's sad, he has no idea how long it's going to last, he has no idea what to do. The parak turns. It talks about the idea of a volta in a poem, the turn in Italian. It turns to an anticipatory prayer. All evil duels will pass from before me, because God has heard my the sound of my crying. Hashem has heard my plea. Hashem tefilati yikach. Hashem will take my prayer. My enemies will be embarrassed, will be discomforted. Yeshuvu Yavosha Raga. They will turn and they will be embarrassed. They will be dismayed in a moment. And the way Radak puts it is Mimdaber Alatid, Baruch HaKodesh. David's saying that, expecting this, he's looking in Baruch HaKodesh, that this is what will happen. I'm miserable, but God will save me. Anyone sick who uses this tefillah, uses tefillah to pray with, anyone can say this. Because he is sure that Hashem will hear his prayer. If they pray with a broken and sincere heart. And the way Feivel Meltzer Rav Kook puts it, summarizing this idea that Tehillim often do that. That is miserable, things are bad, things are terrible, and then says things are good. But this is one of the fundamental lines of thought. In the state of mind of someone who prays b'chol rechvei sefer Tehillim. In all the breadth of Sefer Tehillim. You daven from Sefer Tehillim, Saint Tehillim expressed exactly this thought. Shemesh is a rachat, it's very poetic. Like the sun shining through the darkest clouds, so too will arise the hope of anyone who prays, comes close in his tefillah to his creator, from the warmth of his prayer. La'od, even more so, hayush, that is as deep as his despair was, so deep his hope will be, hamadaret, that will be awakened. That as deep as the trouble that the one praying is, kach tekver mota bitachon. So that is the degree that he will become sure of his salvation. That this will fill the heart of anyone who thinks. Kishama Hashem b'kol b'chiyav. That Hashem has heard my cry. Shema Hashem b'kanano has heard my plea. Hashem tefilati kach has done this. That Tehillim expresses that hope. Not even the hope, the bitachon, the knowledge that this will happen. Mitvalel b'tehillim, someone who davens through Tehillim, says Tehillim, she yada pam lebatei ta agav emuna let bitachon. He knows how to express that faith. Gam im be'erav yolim bechi, that even though he may be lying down with tears, hari b'sod Hashem, that mirz Hashem yitareh b'bokum yinah, will awaken with gladness. Pilel zeh, such a person who prays with this. Yodoh be'etzem gam plo'im gadolim me'el, knows even greater things. Yodoh ahinhu, ki letim tia kinesato la'echal tefillah, knows that when he enters shul, and starts davening, crying in tears. Crying with the soul bended within, just warped within him, twisted within him. And realizes that when he leaves, leaves off davening, the skies are blue, and all the dark clouds are gone. And his stress is gone. That's what Tehillim expresses. And that's why we daven from Tehillim. Olev shitchanen, and that heart that was praying, hinei atahu mitronen, and now can sing b'shuat Hashem, sheba keref ayin, and celebrate the salvation of God that will come in a blink of an eye. Leit atah b'libahu, b'leb b'tachon, and now his heart will be full of hope. So that we don't end tachanun with the v'anachnu l'deda. Express it. We don't know what to do. We end with the Azreinu Ki Yishanu, that God will help us and V'chaper Chatzenu will forgive us, because hope doesn't die. And that's what Tehillim expresses. That's what his Perek Vav expresses. And it's the idea that this is what David is thinking as he's looking at this disaster that's about to happen. Now, the disaster still happens in our Perek. Not happy middle. We'll get better at the end. We'll have to do that next time. But with that, again, we have learning for Zechut for Refuah Shleima for Moshe Zev ben Esther. And just as we're Halochi Elchu Vocha, worried about him, we should wake up in the morning with a Brurina, Yashuvi Yabosha Raga, and everything will get better in a moment.
All right.
I will end here. Thank you for.
Thanks, Annie.
Thank you.